Let's pray and we'll get rocking and rolling. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being on the throne and allowing us to stay off of it, Lord, because that's what happens in our lives is we try to put you on the side and we try to sit on the throne and we try to be the Lord and just allow you to come along with us and that we get things really out of whack in our lives. And Lord, I do pray that you would speak to us today, that we would just be broken and contrite. Just ready to hear from you, Lord. I do thank you for a book like the book of Jonah in the Bible that sometimes we look at and we're like, why would that be in there? But Lord, it's kind of telling us maybe what not to do and maybe the things that we could have done differently. And Lord, we are a culture full of Jonahs, rebelling against what God has called us to do. And I pray that we would be just broken because of it. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. Get the glory for all of it. There's a lot of things going on, Lord. There's a lot of graduations, all these different things happen. There's a lot of things in the ministry going on. We do pray for John's brother and the transplant list. I do pray for the Barnes family. They've really been going through it with the different things with the kiddos. I pray you just get them back on their feet. And a lot of things happening. Lord, we just pray for Tucker and Ellie and the baby that's coming very soon. And there's just a lot of things on my heart as I just go around the room and just think about what's going on in people's lives. And Lord, that's why we do what we do, is so we can minister to one another and just go through life together. So I pray that you would just speak to us today, clear our brains just for a short amount of time so that we could hear something from you in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, Hallie, roll that thing down as far as it will go. It may not go all the way because there's a bunch of food. Don't get anything in the food because that would be really bad. So anyway, thank you for bringing breakfast this morning. Oh yeah, breakfast. If anybody wants to get on the breakfast list, it's available. Talk to Paige because I don't have any idea where to find that, but it's available every week if you want to jump in on bringing breakfast. You don't have to close it all the way. It just kind of kills some of the refrigerator sound. That's good. So, okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. We've been going through Jonah. Every week I say this, it's like a different group of people in here nearly every week because there's ministry going on and this, that, and the other. And I can't go back and like reteach everything, especially since I didn't get done last week, if you can imagine that. Brenton and Paige were laughing. I asked them, like, I didn't get done last week, did I? And Brenton's laying on the couch and he's like, I think 1 point of 4. And I'm like, and then Paige just, I'm just like, I don't know. I just doing what we do. And it's not my fault. You guys ask so many questions and you take up all the class. And I'm totally, yeah, it's definitely you. It couldn't be me. Anyway, so we're going through the book of Jonah. And we're kind of walking through this thing, and I don't have time to review it all, but let's just pick up at the very beginning, and I want to read through to where we're going to get to today, and then I will circle back around, and we will at least get through the 4 points we had last week. And so it says, now the word of the Lord came into Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. The son of Amittai saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah, he's like, nah, Jack, I ain't doing that. He rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners, these guys are, you know, seasoned sailors, they were afraid and cried every man unto his, notice it's a little g, God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship under the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah's like, I don't really care what happens here. So the shipmaster, the captain, El Capitan, he comes rolling down. He's like, and he says unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I don't think that's just in there because, sometimes you have to read your Bible and think, there's a reason God's got this stuff in there. And he's like, hey, wake up. You know, we're just asleep going through life. He says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy, notice that's a capital G, God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said unto everyone unto his fellow, come, let us cast lots, because that'll really help, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Okay, so that's where we had gotten through until we started last week. Okay. Then said they unto him, everybody on the ship, they're like, Jonah, what the heck, man? Tell us, we pray thee. For whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. And they're like, oh great, one of those guys, right? And I fear the Lord. Well, that's even worse. You brought this on us? The God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. He's like, you know, the God that created the sea that's about to engulf you. That's the God that I worship, and they're just terrified. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Now, they're not just asking, why did you come and get on the boat, right? But he's told more of the story to them. Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that they fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So at some point there was a little more conversation. Why did you do this? Why did you run away from the God of heaven? And why am I paying the price because of it? Like, why did you do this? That was kind of dumb, Jonah. We don't even worship your God, and we know that that wasn't a smart thing to do. Why did you do that? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? Because that's what we do in American culture. What can I do to fix the problem? And what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, I've got an idea. I'm going to repent, and you can take me back, and I'll go to Nineveh, and everything will be fine. That's not what he says. He's like, just kill me. I'd rather die than go talk to those people. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah's like, I would rather die, I told you guys this last week, than go to Nineveh. And it's not even so much because that's what God told me to do. I hate those people that much. I will take a shot for my countrymen, Israel, because we all hate them. I'll die before I go there, right? That's some kind of bitterness. That's basically what he's saying, though. He could have been like, because God knows, or I told you guys this last week, but Jonah knows the goodness of God. He's one of God's prophets, right? He knows what God is capable of. He knows that if he'd be like, yeah, I tell you what, I will go back, that immediately the sea would have been calm, right? There's a passage, I think it's in Mark, where they're on the boat with the disciples. Jesus is on the boat with the disciples, and they're like, what are we going to do, Jesus? Why are you asleep? We're all going to die. And Jesus is like, why don't you have any faith? He says three words, peace, be still. And immediately the storm stops, the sea is calm, right? And it's just like, he knows that God could have done that. But he's like, you know what? I'd rather die than go there. I'm just not into it, man. I won't do it. It's crazy. So, you know, God comes, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background and we're going to pick back up. God comes into Jonah's life. He's like, hey, this is where I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh, right? I want you to go there. I want you to do this. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Sorry, I'm out. And I'm not just going to not go there. I'm going to go to as far away as I can possibly go. He didn't just go and say, hey, I need to get on a ship going anywhere out of here. He says, I want to get on the ship that's going as far away as possible, right? If there is like a ship that's going to take me to the moon, that's the one I want to go to. Tarshish is the farthest point away that they could travel at this time in the world. That's the farthest point. He's like, that's where I'm going to go, right? It's the completely opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea. They didn't dare sail any farther than that. That's as far as they were going to go. Take me as far away as possible from what God is telling me to do. So he goes and he tries to run away. And then they get on the boat, right? He pays. He doesn't just go. He like spends his own money to run away from God. That's what Americans do. We spend our own money to run the opposite way of God. To replace God with different things. And so he goes and there's the storm. It's not just an ordinary storm. It says that it's a great, right? Because everything, it's a great wind and the sea and there's a mighty tempest. It's like a massive hurricane is what we would know it today, right? And so they don't have ships like we have today. It's a messed up deal, right? I told you to compare that with the passage where Paul is shipwrecked in one of his missionary journeys. It's the same type of great wind of God, because it's God that allows these things to happen, right? So anyway, the mariners are afraid. They're calling under their little G gods, and you know, Jonah's just like, I'll sleep. I might as well die anyway. I'm not going to Nineveh. Like, I'll go down with this ship. It doesn't matter to me, right? You know, parallel that to your life a little bit. Sometimes we're like, I'll die with this thing, but I'm not going to repent. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody heard me. So anyway, that's kind of going on. And so there's this great wind. And then the shipmaster says, why are you sleeping? What's going on? They're going to cast lots and they find out, hey, the lot falls on Jonah. Right? Okay, so it's your fault. We're all going to die because of you. That's kind of where they've gotten to. Okay, so then pick up in verse 8, because this is where we were last week. And so I had four things for you. Let me find where they're at, because I've already lost what they are. Four things that men do, right? Because if you'll have to go back and listen to last week, and there's a lot of doctrinal stuff that kind of goes along with it. But I kind of got through that, and I wanted to get to some practical things. And I only got through one of the four. But four things that men do, and women, right? Ladies, you're not off the hook. Mankind. Four things that we do to reveal our heart problem with the Lord. Because we have one. You might be like, no, I've got a good heart with the Lord. Okay. Right? I believe you. Right? If you believe yourself, I believe you. Yo, you've got a good heart. But here's what happens. We've got what the Bible doesn't outright call, but what I would call spiritual heart disease. Right? It's decaying from the inside out. Right? And if we don't do something proactive, we will die because of it. Right? Heart disease is the number one cause of death in the United States. Who, you know, notice that I say the United States because most of the other world, parts of the world, they realize that you can't eat some of the things that we eat and get away with it. But anyway, it's the number one leading cause of death. And it's not just physical, but it's spiritual. We have heart disease, right? And so the first thing that reveals our heart problem with the Lord, and I got through this last week, is we ask the wrong questions, right? We ask the wrong questions. In verse 8, it says, "Then said they unto him." So they find out, hey, we're in this boat, we're all going to die, this storm is because of you. "Tell us, we pray thee, for what cause is thy evil upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? Where'd you come from? Who are you? Why is this happening?" They're asking a whole lot of questions. Like, we got to figure this thing out. But the problem is, we ask God a lot of questions in our life. They're just all the wrong questions, right? We ask God a lot of things, but we never get to the root issue of what's going on. We ask a lot of questions, right? We're like, hey, God, what about these people? And why are they so bitter? And we ask God about, why is this situation so messed up? It must be because of them. And we ask God, you know, what about the details of this? Why did you allow this to happen? And, you know, this was a bad thing. Those were good people. God, did you really think that needed to happen? And we ask God a lot of questions, right? God, why did you let this happen? What was going on here? What was the deal here? And, you know, we ask God all the things. The problem is we don't ever get to the real issue, right? We want to know about all the details. Like, why did you allow the car to crash? Why did you... We get to all these things, and it's always God's fault, right? If you would have just... And we rarely... And I'm rushing through this because this is the only point that I got through last week. We rarely get to the important question. What is God trying to tell me or show me through the events surrounding me? What is it that God is actually trying to tell me or show me through these events? Right? It's a tragedy. You're right. I don't know what it is. I know some of y'all have been through some stuff, right? What is it that God is trying to tell you or show you through these things? You ever feel like, you know, there's a season of life where it's just like, man, it's just like one thing after another, after another, after another. And it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm drowning, God. What's going on? Just ease up. What is it that God is trying to tell you or show you? I mean, I don't know. I've been through seasons like that where it's like, man, if I was a boxer, I'd be down right now because I couldn't take another shot right now. Instead of asking God why, we would be much better off asking Him what. What are you trying to show me? What do you want me to do? What do I need to do to take that next step? Instead of asking why, we need to ask what. Okay, if you want more on that, you're going to have to go back and listen to last week because I got three more points to get through. And we will get through them today. No, we definitely will. The second thing that we do, men and women, right? And I'm talking about saved people at this point. I'm not talking about lost people, right? I'm talking about y'all. The second thing that we do to show our heart problem with the Lord is we show how little we really know about God's character. We show how little we really know about God's character. Pick back up in verse 9. "And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." And these guys are like, oh my gosh, oh no, what? You're a Hebrew, right? You're one of those people which has made the sea and the dry land, right? And it says in verse 10, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid." Once they find out, oh, I know enough about that God to know that, oh God, we're really messed up. We're really not in a good spot, right? "They were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, What hast thou done? Or why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them," right? The next thing that we do that shows how little, it shows our heart disease, that we show how little we really know about God's character, right? How little we really know. One of man's biggest problems, and I'm talking about in the church, but not in the church, lost and saved. One of man's biggest problems, lost or saved, is we know just enough about Jesus to get us in trouble. Right? We know just enough about Jesus to get us in trouble. Let me explain what I mean. A lost man knows just enough about Jesus to think that he's saved. Right? oh yeah, I know all about Jesus and the church and all the things, and yeah, I'm good, right? You ever try to share the gospel with somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, man, I got that, it's all good. Now let's talk about something else, right? Yeah, I've done that, it's all good. They know just enough to say the right answers, but there's never been a heart change, right? There's never been any kind of change. And they know just enough to know, right? They know just enough about Jesus. Because if you ever share the gospel with somebody that like knows nothing about the Bible, they're like, wow, I really didn't know that. And it's like, wow, this is enlightening. I didn't know that there was anybody that I could actually have a conversation with about this, right? But the problem is everybody knows, oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I got it. But they know just enough to know to get them in trouble, right? They know just enough to know to get you off their back, but they're still lost, right? They're still just dying and going to hell, right? But the same thing happens with Christians, because I'm not guessing there's a whole lot of lost people in here today, and if you are lost, you need to get saved. But I'm not guessing that there's a lot of lost people in here, but we're the same way. We know just enough about God's character to get us in trouble. We know just enough about God to get in too deep, right? Or to get too involved, or to, you know, say the things that we know we need to say, but we don't really ever completely buy in, right? Oh yeah, I know that God saved my soul. Praise the Lord, right? What are you going to do with it now? Because now there's a different judgment coming, right? You will stand before God. Now, if you're lost, it's going to be the great white throne. I don't want to be there, right? I'll actually be there as a spectator. You all will, but if you're saved. But at the judgment seat of Christ, we get judged as saved people for what we've done for Christ from the day we got saved moving forward. Like, you know just enough about Jesus to get you in trouble, right? We know just enough about God's character to say, oh yes, Lord, save my soul. Well, that's awesome, right? Everybody needs to get saved. Most people get saved by the grace of God. Some people get saved because they're scared of the wrath of God. Either way, you're saved, right? The problem is we stick to what we got saved on, right? We stick to, oh, Jesus is so good, right? And he's, you know, Jesus, well, what is the old Casting Crowns song? Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Like, that song is completely true. But you understand there's another side of the coin. There's the other side of the coin that says if you're not going to get saved, then God is 100% just to send you to hell. Right? Because you had an opportunity and you rejected it. Right? It was completely your choice. And we're like, oh, how could a good God do that? Well, how could a bad God give you the opportunity to get saved? Right? He's completely just. You just don't want to do anything with it. Right? You have to decide to do something with it. There's a perfect balance with the God that we serve between grace and wrath. And if there wasn't a perfect balance, then he wouldn't be just. Without understanding both, you'll never understand him. If all you know about God is, well, I had to get saved because I was going to burn in hell. Well, praise the Lord, but do you understand that there's grace that goes along with that? Do you understand that he wants to meet you where you're at and get you where you want to go? That he can bring you out of anything you're going through? But at the other side of the coin, there's people that are like, oh, God is so graceful and he is, right? But he's not going to just turn a blind eye to your sin. And if you're going to continue to live like that, then don't be surprised when he smacks you on the back of the head, right? Because that's the way, I mean, God doesn't come down and smack you on the back of the head, but I'm saying, like, you ever been through some things that's like, man, I wish he would have smacked me on the back of the head. That would have felt better, right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We know just enough about Jesus to get us in trouble. There's a perfect balance. And if you don't understand both sides of what God is, then you're never going to understand him, right? You're never going to understand who he is, how he is, right? What it is that he does. If we truly understand God's character, if we really truly, it's kind of like a double, I don't know, positive, negative, I don't know. If we really 100% grabbed a hold of God's character, if you really understood God the way that you say you did, if you really, like, oh yeah, I know all that. Okay, I'm glad you do. If you really understood God's character, you'd live God's character. The problem is, most of us are living our own agenda and we're trying to slap Jesus' name on it, right? The problem is, most of us are like, oh yeah, I'm all about that. And we do our own thing, our own way, right? It's like Burger King around here. We're going to have it our way, right? Just the way that I want it. And we're going to be like, oh yeah, but Jesus is all on it. No, Jesus is all on your case, like he needs to be. And you're just not doing anything about it, right? We want to blame God for all the things that happen, right? I can't believe God allowed that to happen. I can't believe that you fill in the blank. Why would this happen? Why did this blah, 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 blah. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Right? God's just like, hey, I've been here the whole time. At some point, are you going to do something with it? Right? At what point is it not going to be my fault that you're an idiot? Right? And I hate to be that way, but like at some point, at what point is it not God's fault that you did dumb things? At what point is it not God's fault that you didn't obey, that you didn't submit, that you didn't do something with it, right? At what point? I don't know, there's a song. I'm a song lyric kind of guy, right? And I don't always just listen to Christian music, right? I'm just gonna, I know, shocker, like, can you believe it? I know. Actually, most of the time, I like worship music, but Christian music, they're completely different. And I actually don't like Christian music. It's just like, oh my gosh, it makes me want to, I shouldn't be like this, but it makes me want to vomit sometimes. And like, not God, I love God, I love worship music, but like, sometimes the contemporary Christian music, but anyway, I listen to a lot of different things, but there's a song by NF, and if you guys know who NF is, he's not exactly, some people would be like, oh, he's Christian, some people are like, no, he's not, he's just he's a dude that I would say is safe, but anyway, he's Christian-like, but anyway, I like the lyrics, right? There's a song, and I'm not going to rap it to you, but I definitely will not, definitely not doing it, but like, he says, Jackson will beatbox. No, he says, listen, everybody wants change, but nobody wants to change, though. Don't nobody pray till they got something to pray for. Now, everybody's going to die, but don't everybody live, though. Sometimes I look up in the sky and wonder, do you see us down here? And he says, oh, Lord. Then it hits me every time I hear this. And it says, it's easy to blame God, but harder to fix things. We look in the sky and say, why aren't you listening? Right? Okay, so that hits home, right? We look in the sky, God, why are you allowing this to happen, right? Watching the news in our living rooms on the big screens, he's talking about if God is really real, then where is he, right? We watch the news and we're like, why would God allow this to happen? This is messed up, right? God, you should do something. That's what we say. You know, God, you should do something. You see, the same God that you say it may not even exist becomes real to us, but only when we're lying in bed. When you're healthy, it's like we don't really care for him then. Leave me alone, God. I'll call you when I need you again. Which is funny because everyone's sleeping in the pews. They blame God for our problems like he's sleeping on you. We turn our backs on him. What do you expect him to do? It's hard to answer prayers when nobody's praying to you. It goes on. Dang. But it's like, it's for real stuff. And it's like it's that line right there. It's hard to answer prayers when nobody's praying to you, right? And that's really what it boils down to, man. The church, we are broken in a lot of different ways. We're broken inside because we don't really know. We're broken as a culture. And we're like, God, you should do something. And God's like, at any point, I'm ready. Like, what is it that you wanted me to do? Like, can you be more specific? You know, because I did do something. I brought tragedy in your life to get your attention. Well, that's not what I wanted you to do. Okay, well, you weren't very specific. God, you should do something. Okay, well, I'm going to allow something else to happen, or I'm going to do something else to, you know, I'll, not he's doing anything, but he's going to allow this because God can do whatever he wants. And we're just like, yeah, I don't know. Right? And we blame God for all of the stuff that goes on in our life, but yet we want to take no accountability for the things that we do or don't do. Because I get it. Y'all in here, like, you guys are the Amen Choir. You're not out there just living like hell. But what really boils down to is, what are the things that you know you're supposed to be doing that you're like, yeah, I'll get around to it. Right? And instead we're like, God, what do I do here? No, you're not asking that. You're God saying, what are you going to do here? And God's like, at what point do you want me to do something? What is it that you want me to do? Oh, you're actually going to pray today? Well, that's interesting. Where were you at last week or the week before? It took like a debate with your spouse or a blow up with your kids for you to realize, oh, I need to get more into prayer, right? I need to get back right with God. And God's like, oh, and now it's my fault that those things happened. No, I did. I allowed those things to get your attention so that you would pray and you would ask, but we don't because we're lazy, because we're content. Like, I don't know who I'm talking to, but like, guys, we are messed up. And the culture we live in is messed up, and it's not going to change if we don't change. If we don't say, God, I'm ready. Jonah was a fool, but I'll go. Right? At what point? You know, there's a passage in Romans chapter 10. Like, if you really think you understand God's character, you need to understand Romans chapter 10, right? when it says, I think I'll get done. This is a passage that most people don't like to talk about, right? Because it's hard to understand and it's hard to explain. It's Romans chapter 9, I'm sorry. And when we're talking about God's character and really understanding God's character, if you really understand God's character, it's passages like this that won't trip you up. But if you don't understand God's character, and it's only about what you want God to be, like, because that's what happens. We have a picture in our brains of what we want God to be. And I hate to break it to you, but that's not who He is. Now, it might be, but God isn't what you want Him to be. God is God. God is holy and just and perfect. Now, if that doesn't fit into what your picture of God is, I'm sorry. Right? If it makes passages like this passage right here hard to understand, and you're like, well, I don't really understand, it's because you don't understand the character of God. And you're not submitting to who He is. You're wanting Him to submit to what you want Him to be. Right? It says in, and this is referencing, you know, Romans chapter 9 is talking about Israel, but God's basically saying, God is God here, and we need to allow God to be God, and stop trying to put Him in our own little box. It starts with this passage on, like, why is it that God would choose Isaac over Ishmael, right? Well, I mean, honestly, if you understand the book of Genesis, it's not really that hard. They're God's chosen people. When we try to do things in our own flesh, you get an Ishmael in your life. Anybody ever had an Ishmael in their life? Now, I'm not talking about, like, a child named Ishmael, but I'm saying I've had a whole lot of Ishmaels in my life, right? The product of my trying to do things in my own will. Go back and read the story if you don't understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, so he uses that as kind of like a buffer. To say, okay, now I'm really going to lay something on you. In verse 12, he says, and he said unto her, Romans chapter 9, verse 12, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, you understand that passage. Go back to Genesis, and it's talking about why is there two twins that basically, one of them, they both bring a sacrifice. I don't really understand why is one better than the other. And God is trying to show you a picture of who He is from the very beginning. And we're like, well, that doesn't fit into my brain. They both did something for you, God. Shouldn't you accept them both? Right? They both tried, God. Shouldn't you accept them both? Like, in my brain, if I do good, you should reward me for that, God. If I do the right thing, or better yet, if I don't do the wrong thing, God, then you should reward me for that. That's how you are in my brain. That's the God that I serve in my brain, is that if I do the right things or I don't do the wrong things, then I should be on the right side of God. And God's like, that's not how I work. Right? I work on worship. Right? I work on submittance. Right? I work on obedience. That's how I work. And we're like, nah, that's not the God that I want to serve. Okay, well, you keep building them up in your head, and I hate to tell you, but He's going to be cast down, just like every other false god in the world. He says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So is God unrighteous because he loves Jacob and hates Esau? No. Right? And let me just explain this whole thing to you, because he goes on, and he's using this as an example, and Since I opened Pandora's box, I'm going to basically reveal to you why God can do that. Why a holy God can accept one and reject the other. Why a holy God can harden Pharaoh's heart instead of just changing his heart. Why a holy God can allow a child to die in a car accident. Why a holy God can allow... Why can that happen? Because He's God. Because He can. And better yet, because He owes you nothing. We serve a God that we think, you owe me. And you know what? You know what? I deserve that. I've worked hard. I've done the right thing. You know what you deserve? The Bible tells you what you deserve. It's death and hell. That's the only thing that you were born deserving. That's it. Like, I hate to be that way. Like, especially for the youth in here. Like, I'm never coming back to this guy. He's like, you know what you've done in this world? You know what you deserve? You deserve the lake of fire. So the fact that He's even willing to give you an opportunity to not go there, you should serve Him the rest of your life just for that. And instead, we get so hung up on, but why would He allow that? Because He's trying to get your attention. Because He's a holy God and because He can. Right? And we get so caught up in, why did God love Jacob and hate Esau? He loved Jacob because He could. Right? He didn't ever hate Esau. Right? Esau just never did. Right? And it didn't matter if he did or didn't, because guess what? They both deserved hell. One of them just cried out for something better. We get so caught up in, well, that's not what God is. No, that is who God is. That is the character of God. Perfect, with just and just and grace and wrath. But instead, we're just like, well, that's not the God that I serve. No, that's not the God in your head. I agree. That's not, that you're right. The God in your head's messed up and you're wrong. And however you got to that point, you need to repent of it, because God is simply who he is. Right? God says all men are broken. Do you want a chance? Because if you do, it's going to take something on your part. Right? Now, it takes nothing to get saved. We all can get saved by simply saying, God, I believe you. I have faith, by grace through faith, right? I get all that. But it doesn't stop there, right? We don't understand the character of God. And we're like, I can't believe God, but God, you should do something. He's like, man, I'm about to do something and you're not going to like it. And then you're going to be like, God, why did you do that? Because that's what we do. God, you should do something. Well, don't do that. Oh, well, maybe be more specific on what you were wanting me to do. Right? We don't pray. And when we do pray, it's to get the things that we want. We just don't. The only thing we deserve is death and hell. And the fact that he even gives you an opportunity to not go there, to not be there, should be enough to spur you to serve. Right? Now, we do serve a graceful God. And I understand. I get where people get that doctrine. Because we live in the age of grace. We really do. But the problem is, those people that are stuck there, they're stuck on, we live in this age of grace, and they don't realize that the age of grace is rapidly coming to an end. And they're going to be so, they're going to have red cheeks that you guys were talking about this morning, you don't even understand, right? It's going to slap them so hard upside the face, the wrath of God that is coming, and they're like, I didn't see that coming, right? Because they just... God isn't who you want him to be. Right? God is God. And the sooner that we can submit to who he is and the character that he is, right? We can do something. But when we try to say, I just don't understand why God would allow that to happen, because he's God. Because he can. Right? It goes on in that passage in Romans to say that, you know, does the potter not have power over the clay? Is he not just? You know, if you're building something, are you not just to say, I don't really think that that's exactly how I wanted it, and I'm going to change it, and I'm going to, you know, but instead God gives you free will, and he allows you to do those things. He allows you to grow and do and go and all of these different things. And number three. The third thing that we do, I really thought I was going to get done. Phil's looking at me like shaking his head. The third thing that we do, I really thought I'd get through more than one, to reveal our heart problem with the Lord.
We have all
year. What?
We have all
year. If any of you thought that we were going to get through Jonah in less than, I'm not even going to put a time frame on it. They attempt to, number three, the third thing that men do to reveal their spiritual heart disease, their heart problem with the Lord, is they attempt to work their way to God. Right? They attempt to work their way to God. Now, I'm not even going to try to get through this whole point, because I don't have time to get through this whole point. But verse 11 is the most important question that men of this world ask God. Right? This is the question that every one of you in here has done. Maybe multiple times even today, right? And it's like, this is what I do. Like, this is what we do. Especially in American Christianity, this is what we do. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, to Jonah. And this is, they're basically talking to the Lord, because they know that, oh, if you're serving the Lord and you're his prophet, then you can get this to him, right? Because you have more clout with God than I do. We do that as well. We're like, we find somebody more spiritual and we're like, hey, could you talk to God for me? And I'm like, no, I'm not your priest, right? You have Hebrews 4:11, I think, says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. I think that's the right reference. 4:16, I'm sorry. You don't need a priest. Jesus is your priest. You can come boldly to him. If you're saved today, there's no question. Just go. Ask him. Anyway, this is what we do. We try to find somebody more spiritual than us. And it's okay to ask for wise counsel, but when you're asking somebody to talk to God for you, that's messed up. He says, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? What can I do, God, to get the results that I want? Right? That's what we ask God all the time. What can I do to get the results that I want? Right? And it goes back to a messed up thinking from the point before, because we think God is somebody that we can manipulate to be who we want Him to be. And so what can I do to get the results from You that I want out of... And so all of these different things. What can I... That's what we do. So I'm going to stop there, but I want you to like just keep a mental tally in your head this week. And some of you are going to be like, well, that's not really... No, I promise. If it came to your mind, that's what you were doing. Just keep a mental tally this week and come back next week of how many times you do this with God. What can I do to get the result that I want? Whether it's spiritual or not, right? Because we do this all the time. What is it that I can do to get the result that I'm after, right? And some things it's okay, but man, it's not godly, right? And so let's pray. I really thought I was going to get done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, not sorry, because I feel like God provoked me to go to Romans. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff here. Anyway, let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You for today. Lord, You're good to us. I do pray that You would just spur us to be obedient, because that's really what You're calling us to be. That's where I'm trying to get to. It's really where I'm trying to get. But if we're not obedient, we're not in the will of God. And so, God, I pray that You would call us to just be what You want us to be, to do the things that You want us to do. Lord, I pray that You get all the glory and the honor that's due from us out of our lives, Lord. You are a just God, and sometimes we need to just understand who You are and just really meditate on those things, God, because You're the God that we serve, and too often we serve the God that we want You to be. And so, God, I pray that You would help settle our hearts on those things, get the honor and the glory for all these things. Be with Pastor Brian as he preaches this morning. Just be with all the things that are going on. A lot of things happen in your church. A lot of things happen in different people's lives. And I just pray that You would get the glory for all of it. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. What? Yeah.